Okay, we're going to begin this morning in the fifth chapter of Ephesians, and we're going to start with about the 29th verse, where I believe we more or less left off on Wednesday night, in the Wednesday night class. Let's see, starting in the 29th verse of Ephesians 5, "For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Okay, now, I think really to engage in a study of these, in particular, these last few verses in chapter 5, what you really have to do is you have to look at what's being taught in this whole, you might say, section of verses that we've been studying for a few class periods now, about 11 or 12 verses, starting with the 22nd verse all the way through the end of the chapter to verse 33. I think you have to do that in particular to understand how verses 31 and 32 actually explain for you, actually give you what the Holy Spirit through Paul is writing about in this whole section of verses. Now, for instance, Randy, would you read the 31st verse, please? "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife." Okay. Now, so far we've seen verses talking about, in this section, about the relationship between the husband and the wife, and talking about Christ and the church, but how that the husbands are to love their wives, and the wives, it's interesting in this section how that Paul doesn't write about wives loving their husbands, but he says wives respect their husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, respect your husbands. And then, as we get towards the end of this section, now, you might say all of a sudden, we have quoted in verse 31, what do we have quoted there in verse 31 that Randy just read? Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. So, what do you think Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24 would have to do with this section of verses 22 through 33? Why do you think it's there, Peggy? Okay. As we see that taught in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and about verse 3, we see an order taught there, don't we? Randy? Oh. Okay, the church respects God. All of us, we make up the church, don't we? We respect His authority. In verse 32, it says, "This mystery is great." Now, what is that phrase referring to? You're starting to arrive at the answer. Something that's being revealed. It's not something that's hard to understand. That's not what the Greek word mysterion means there. It means something which has been hidden and now is revealed. Same thing in the third chapter, and I believe also one mention of it in the first chapter of Ephesians. But in particular in the third chapter of Ephesians, the mystery, how that Jew and Gentile would be reconciled together in one body in the church. So this mystery is great. You know, these verses caused me to think about a very interesting statement that Isaiah made about God. About how God operates, about how God does things. Randy, could you read Isaiah 46? And I didn't have enough room there to put 9, but read verses 9 and 10. Okay, two things there about God. God does what? God, isn't that an interesting statement? God declares the end from the beginning. And second of all, His purpose, His plans are going to be accomplished. Okay, so in verse 31, we have the husband and the wife. relationship established all the way back in the second chapter of Genesis. And Paul says in the 32nd verse, I'm speaking about Christ and the church. This mystery about the church, this mystery about the relationship of Christ to the church, has been hidden. But now it's revealed. And yet Isaiah says, God declares the end from the beginning. All the way back in Genesis, we see the relation, we see marriage, the relationship of the husband and wife. We see marriage instituted. And now we see when Ephesians is being written, Paul is writing here, as we studied about before in Romans, Paul's writing about the mystery. How the eternal plan and purpose of God has culminated in Christ and the church, and the relationship of Christ to the church. Oh, Randy? Okay. Okay. And that is what is wrapped up in verses 31 and 32, what Randy's talking about. So, in what the Holy Spirit is revealing here through Paul, marriage, what this section of verses is about, marriage becomes what? Marriage becomes the illustration. Marriage is, as you used the word a while ago, Randy, marriage is the great parallel. Marriage is the great illustration of this relationship between Christ and the church. See, this text from verses 22 through 33, when you pull back from it and look at the big picture to see what is this whole section of verses teaching, it's teaching about Christ's love for the church and the church's, we talked about the word respect, but it's talking about the church's respectful submission to Christ. See, what we'll see later on is our unity. Our unity is an expression of our submission to Christ. Our faithfulness is an expression of our submission to Christ. But this relationship between Christ and the church had been kept hidden. It was secret, but it's now revealed. You see, I'm not saying that the purpose of marriage from the beginning was to illustrate this relationship between Christ and the church, but I'm saying that it appears from these verses that God arranged marriage the way God arranged marriage. One design in it was to illustrate the relationship between Christ and the church. So it would appear that's why verses 31 and 32 are there in this text, that Paul is saying marriage is the great illustrator. Marriage is the great example. Look, in order to understand the relationship between Christ and the church, look at the husband-wife relationship in marriage. Sometimes, in studies in the past, these sections of verses have been used to teach about the husband and wife relationship, and it does teach about that. But that's not the purpose of this section of verses. The purpose is for us to understand the relationship between Christ and the church. Joey? Well, coincidentally, in my next slide, Joey, could you read Romans chapter 7 and verse 4? Okay, so we are what? As the church, we are married to Christ, aren't we? That's the illustration. And Randy, could you read 2 Corinthians 11 and 2? Okay, so Paul's writing to the Corinthians and saying, I betrothed you to Christ. You are fastened together to Christ. You belong to Christ. And how was this done? Through obedience to the gospel, as we have noted in several verses up here on the slide. But what does that obedience to the gospel represent in this section of 11 verses in the fifth chapter? Doesn't it represent submission, respectful submission to Christ and His Word? Well, that's true, because the Scripture says, wherefore, if any man be in Christ, you're not, as you're saying, you're not compelled.
God does not want a relationship where we have the pressure to force or compelled.
Right. It's
a relationship where we have chosen to submit.
Right. By the word, use of the word if in there, we understand that it's a choice that you make. Randy? Yes.
That's how much you command to love your wife. If you don't love your wife that much, you're in sin.
In the okay, you just made a statement, in sin, yes. And let's maybe rephrase that a little bit in the context of these 11 verses in chapter 5. If you don't love your wife as Randy is describing, then you're not doing what? You're not submitting to Christ, are you? You're not submitting to Christ. Now, so we talked a little bit in class previously, over the last couple of weeks, about being submissive to Christ, the phrase used in the Scriptures, in everything. You see, our submission to Christ, as we were just kind of, now we kind of move into that discussion, Randy. Our submission to Christ in everything is essential to our salvation. Randy, could you read Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 12? Okay, and then verses 28 through 30. Okay, so here we see in Proverbs 31 the description of a worthy wife, the opposite of what would be a rebellious wife, someone who does not respectfully submit to her husband. And likewise, a rebellious Christian, one who refuses to hear and accept instruction, is going to be lost. Randy, how about Galatians 5 and 4? Okay, you see there, what was their problem in Galatians that we studied about? They were trying to return to the old law. And if they did that, they were going to be they would fall from grace. They would be rebelling against the gospel. They wouldn't be submitting to Christ. So our submission to Christ, just like in the relationship of marriage of the wife to the husband, we respectfully submit to Christ, or else we're lost. I mean, as we're going to see on the next slide, the nature of Christ, the nature of our head, the head of the church, really compels that kind of devotion. But about being submissive to Christ in everything, what if your wife was faithful 90% of the time? Or what if the husband was faithful only 90% of the time? Would you be happy with that? Do you think that's the way God looks at it, as Richard has just stated? He probably does, yes. The wife honors her husband by respecting and supporting his word. Now the, yeah. Yes. 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 Submitting to Christ is an expression of our love for Him. Peggy? Okay. Okay, that's a paraphrase. Okay. Okay. But so the wife honors her husband how? By respecting and following his word. But at the same time, as we've discussed in class, God didn't create the wife to be a slave. James 2:10. Yes, thank you. God created the wife to be what? As when He instituted the relationship, a helpmeet, a helper, not as a slave. Richard? Yes. Yes, that's true. And there are some interesting parallels about Eve being taken from the side of Adam, and interesting Christ and the church have some interesting parallels, you might say, to that, to how Eve was taken from the side of Adam. But the church, likewise. You see, when you understand that the wife is to be respectfully submissive in everything in terms according to the Word of God, because we know from Acts chapter 4 and Acts chapter 5 and those stories that we must obey God rather than man. That when, if we understand how the wife is submissive respectfully to her husband, we understand, then we start to understand how the church is respectfully submissive to Christ. And you see, if for instance, if each one of us individually is respectfully submissive to Christ and to His Word, we understand how we can walk, as Paul wrote in Ephesians 4 and verse 3, how we can walk in unity, can't we? Because if we're submissive to Christ and His Word, we have fellowship with God. And when we each individually are in fellowship with God, then by definition we're in fellowship with each other. So the church honors Christ always by respecting and supporting His Word. 1 Timothy 3 and 15. Now, why should we be compelled to respectfully submit to Christ? Because of His nature, as we stated in the prior slide, because He sacrificed Himself for her. Which is a little bit about what Joey was getting at earlier, to save her. To sanctify her. As we studied in the first chapter of Ephesians, the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ, meaning in the church. Part of those spiritual blessings are redemption and forgiveness of sins. We have reconciliation with God. And we have this through the blood of Christ being applied through faith, through our obedience. So Jesus, as we are all part of the church, Jesus sacrificed himself so we could be saved, so we could be so we could be sanctified. See, as it says in 1 Corinthians, 4:17, Paul did teach the same thing everywhere. See, actually, what he's teaching here in Ephesians really is what he declared about what his preaching would do for the Gentiles in the 26th chapter of Acts, and in the 18th verse, that not only was his preaching the gospel, that the gospel was going to be a call to initial obedience to salvation, but the call was also going to be to a life of sanctification. Joey?
And they'll try to conclude from that Christians are Christian males are basically chauvinistic in nature, and I've heard all kinds of accusations like that very chauvinistic, and nothing could be further from the truth. And this analogy here between Christ and the church and husband and wife really illustrates that that is a false accusation, because like you pointed out, Christ died for the church, he offered himself to the church, and likewise the husband all of her physical needs, her emotional needs, whatever the case may be. So the man is supposed to, put her on a pedestal, so to speak, and think so highly of her. So the truth in the scriptures is just the opposite of what a lot of people in ignorance accuse the church of being.
Okay, what you said there, introduces the next subject about Christ's leadership. Being the head of the church, the husband, the head of the household. How about reading for us Mark 10 and verse 45? Now, there's what you're saying, Joey, actually, is that the husband does what in the marriage relationship? Doesn't he serve? Sacrifice, salvation. Randy, how about reading Romans chapter 15 and verse 3? In verse 3.
For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached him fell on you.
Okay, so Christ was unselfish, and that's the role of the husband in the husband-wife relationship. Unselfishness. That's the quality. As you were getting at, Joey. And as we noted in other verses in this section, as the head, Christ nourishes and cherishes the church. He strengthens us, cherishes us through his word and what he has done for us to give us eternal life. And as a matter of fact, that's the reward that Paul mentioned in Acts 26 and verse 18. he talked about the reward in that verse, a reward for obedience to the gospel, obeying the call for a sanctified life. The reward was heaven, or is heaven. And he gives us eternal life if we obey him, if we submit to him. And I bring out this example in the 16th chapter of Ezekiel, Jerusalem. Jerusalem is going to be destroyed in this context by the Chaldeans, by the Babylonians, and because she is the great harlot. That's how she's described in the 16th chapter of Ezekiel. Because instead of being faithful to God, submissive to God, she has trusted in her own beauty. She was unfaithful to God. And God was going to use other nations, in particular the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, to punish Jerusalem for her unfaithfulness. She had given herself to others, trusted in her own beauty, trusted in herself, didn't submit to God. See, our submission to Christ is an expression of our faithfulness to him. And Richard, just as a side note, it is interesting to note in the 16th and the 23rd chapters of Ezekiel how that Jerusalem is called the Great Harlot. Just note that the next time you have occasion to read the 17th chapter of Revelation. So the church must be faithful to Christ. Randy? Okay. Yes. Yes. So the church, as a church, we're submissive to Christ in everything. That expresses our faithfulness, as we've seen in Ephesians, through our morality, through our devotion, and as we've recently studied, look at the 19th and the 20th verses of chapter 5. We're faithful in our worship to Christ. How we worship makes a difference. It matters. We submit to his word. So submission to Christ expresses our unity with him. Through our obedience to the gospel, as the church, and as it's expressed in what, the 26th verse, as each person becomes a member of the church is purified. We leave and cleave in a new relationship We're called out of the world. We're in a new relationship with Christ. A new relationship that parallels the husband-wife relationship. And we're united with Christ to follow Him in everything, to follow Him in His Word. So, by looking to the marriage relationship, we understand this oneness between the Christ and the church. So we see how verses 31 and verse 32 in particular are saying, Paul is saying, Ephesians, the marriage relationship is the great illustrator. This is how you understand Christ and the church. Randy? Oh, okay. I thought you were... Okay. Oh, what? The 19th chapter? Oh, yeah. The 19th chapter in verses 7 through 9. Does anyone remember what that scripture says? Christ, the church is described how? The bride of Christ. Randy, go ahead and read that for us. Yes. Okay, and so these are the righteous acts of the saints. What does that mean? Another way of saying that is our submission to Christ and His Word. And by the way, just if you're interested, for purposes of just a little background, in verse 32 there, the phrase, "This mystery is great." If you've ever wondered where one religion gets this idea of marriage being a sacrament, the Latin Vulgate Bible actually translates that phrase, I believe, as it doesn't say or doesn't read, "This mystery is great." It reads, "This is a great sacrament." That's how it's translated, erroneously. Because as you can see, as we've developed this morning from the whole context, this has nothing to do with some idea of a sacrament. This is all about understanding the relationship between Christ and the church. And out of understanding that relationship, we then understand that our unity, our faithfulness is all wrapped up in our submission to Christ, and as we studied earlier in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, that's our walk, which is a metaphor for how we lead our lives, how we conduct our lives. Our walking is, in fact, respectful submission to Christ. David? Paul uses opposites to explain the relationship. You don't hate your own flesh. We're part of Christ. We're part of His body. He doesn't hate us. God willing, Wednesday evening, please bring your questions. We will take up the questions on verses 22 through 33. Thank you.